Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I hope you can hear me. I cannot hear you. Praise the Lord for this, for this way we can have a conference. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm Christian from Colmar, France. I hope you can forgive me my German mistakes. We are not here to have a wonderful German discussion, but for the Spirit, so the Lord can speak to us. Yeah, the title of this conference is really wonderful. Our living in the will of God. Yeah, and you have to know the will of God is good, and it's a blessing to know it. In Ephesians 1, verse 9, he says, yeah, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Yeah, it's his good pleasure that we know his will. Yeah, and if, for example, at work, the high up boss, not just your direct boss, but the highest boss of the company, and he comes to you and tells you, I have something for you, and then we might think, what does he want from us? Why is he talking to us? Yesterday we saw that our God is so rich. He has given us all his riches, in all the riches of God in Christ. And yeah, we have no treasure chamber which can hold the glory and the riches of Christ. Yeah, and we can take part in this riches to do the will of the Father. Yeah, and these riches are in his word, and they are also connected to the whole being of Christ, and his wisdom. Psalm 147 verse 5 says that his wisdom is without end. In verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Yeah, and the verses in Ephesians 1. In verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Yeah, we have redemption. We also need this redemption every day. But it's even more. The Lord wants to do even more than redeem us. Praise the Lord. And today we come to the second pillar, the will of the Father. These are three pillars. It is sanctification, the salvation, and the building up of his church. But we can also not separate them because they are completely connected. We need the sanctification for the gospel so that the Lord can really work, that he can come to the building up of his church, because we really need to be sanctified to build up his church. Let's read in 1 Thessalonians verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3. Yeah, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Yeah, if we talk about, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Yeah, now we come away from the salvation and go to just to the sanctification. And you might think it's not so wonderful, but sanctification is so wonderful, so perfect. In Hebrew 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Yeah, we really need this holiness. This holiness will lead us to sanctification, without which no man shall see the Lord. This seems like something we need to have, which is important, but not so to burden us. But the Lord, is positive, has a positive idea for us, because he wants to have his bride, he loves us as the bridegroom, and he wants to have this beautiful bride. Oh Lord. Yeah, often there are things we don't like to see. For example, a sister might not like to see spiders. So if you love her, you will not bring a spider to her. And God is like that. God cannot see some things. And so how can we, if we love him, bring these things in front of him? He has nothing to do with sin. And he will draw back from sin. And this verse has a parallel verse in Matthew 5, verse 8. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Yeah, and this verse shows that, holiness and sanctification has so much to do with our heart. God wants us to become holy, that we grow in this holiness. And he wants to have, because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to reveal us the will of it, the mystery of his will. Yeah, what is sanctification? And let's start, if you allow, in the Old Testament, in a wonderful chapter, In first, in Leviticus, Leviticus chapter. I read the Old Testament chapter by chapter, and when I read Leviticus, I have to say it is not so easy always. But the Lord has spoken to me through this chapter. And in Leviticus 19, verse 1 and 2, Leviticus 19, 1 and 2.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy." And this verse is mentioned in 1 Peter.
Im Neuen Testament. Und das ist der erste.
And what is the first?
Ich bin der Herr, euer Gott. Ihr sollt heil sein.
I am the Lord your God. You shall be holy because I am holy.
Heiligung hat so sehr zu tun mit Gottes Natur. Es ist die
The sanctification has so much to do with the person of God. Is God's person in us. It is not just being without sin. It has to do something with something to be worked into us. And then the Lord gives some rules which are expressing what is meant by Him with this sanctification. Because behind this, it stands what God has on His heart. And we speak from by the will. When we speak about sanctification, it is about what God has in His heart. He says that you should keep my Sabbath and you shall revere his mother and his father. You should revere them because they have given life to us, but this also has to do with God. He has prepared such a big treasure for us. He has given us the opportunity to live and to have this conference now, to be part of this conference. And then he says, you should keep my Sabbath. So today, this is not Sunday or Saturday, but to come into the rest of God. When we are in our flesh, there's so much restlessness in us. But in the Lord, there is rest. And the Lord wants us to have with Him. This is the true Sabbath. How can we raise somebody, someone else up in our hearts? This is a great this really is a really bad thing. We cannot have idols in our heart. In French, we have
allmächtiger, aber auch der liebensvolle Gott.
Ja, das ist ein großer Gott. The Lord, when you say, well, football is my idol. And he also says, talks about sacrifices. He only took. I also want to mention another point. And they should not eat the sacrifices. The third day is the day of resurrection. God does not want to have something old. He wants to have life and resurrection.
And these verses,
they summarize the sanctification, the holiness of God. And then we have verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the grains of your harvest. And in the end of verse 10, you shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This is really strange. He spoke about sanctification and holiness, and then suddenly he speaks about that. Maybe Moses has made a mistake. When my students write a paper, maybe it's a mistake, but no, this is God's word. God does not make a mistake. This change really impressed me. And in the end, he says in verse 10, I am the Lord your God. So that means he is really very, he is really meaning that. This really shows another aspect of God from his heart. God wants us to serve him in holiness. But what really touched that the Lord in the same he has such a heart for the poor. In Psalm 84, we cannot read so many verses.
Und die Armen, Geschwister, ja, es gibt Armen, materielle.
So there are brothers and sisters that are poor in a material meaning of the word. But yesterday evening we saw that people are spiritually poor. The brother has expressed it very well. Some spread the word of the salvation and but they are still very poor in a spiritual way. So you have to see
We know families where the father or the mother might not be at home in the weekend. And the world is very divided and there's no unity, not even in families. But we are called to spread this, our riches in the spirit, And this was already shared, and this is a very important point. Oh Lord Jesus. And it goes further in verse 18 in the same chapter. There comes this verse which is cited so many times in the Old, in the New Testament. And I just read the second part. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. It is the Lord who loves his neighbor. God is love. If we talk about the sanctification, about his nature being worked into us. In verse 16, here, and in verse 8, it says, God is love. Yeah, God has such a heart for the people. And so what this means is that sanctification will not turn us into hard, strong, unemotional people, but it will make us into people which you would like to live with, which were thirsty and hungry. Yeah, and these thirsty and hungry people were drawn to Jesus, because he is really, supplying them. Yeah, and now I want to come to my next point, which is about, what sanctification is. It's not just our acting, but it's something inward. It's not outward, it's inward. If we want to see the heart of the Father, we have to look upon Jesus. Was the Lord angry with a sinner, with a liar? Let's read in John 4. Yeah, and we already had some wonderful fellowship about this chapter. And I want to bring forth another point here. The Lord has brought the gospel, the good news. In verse 15, John 4, verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And what does the Lord answer her? In verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. Come here. Yeah, this also shows the heart of the Lord. He wants to give the gospel to this man. But what does the woman answer? I have no husband. And there is this answer which impressed me so much. I would have not reacted like that. She says she has no husband, but she lived with a husband or with a man. The Lord did not say in vain, bring your husband. Yeah, and then Jesus tells her, you have well said, I have no husband. You have well said. I'm so impressed by these words by the Lord. Yeah, the Lord cannot accept lies. The Lord, brings forth truth. And he says once more, after she said the truth, he says in verse 18, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. It shows, the Lord makes a difference between a marriage and a relationship without marriage. And he finishes this statement with the words that in that you spoke truly. Yeah, he reveals the truth, and this is the position of the Lord. This is what he does. He reveals the truth. But the Pharisees, the Pharisees were so really like to live outwardly in a sanctified, holy manner. But the Lord was very strong with them, told them, you are blind. In Matthew 23, the Lord hates outwardly things, and he is very harsh with the Pharisees and tells them you are blind. This is in verse 28, even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And here in the the sanctification is not an outwardly presentation. So does this mean that I can do everything what I want and just act like how I like? But there are two verses which I really appreciate in Galatians 5:13-15.
Denn ihr seid zur Freiheit berufen worden, Brüder.
For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And where is this coming from? Leviticus 19. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no reason to live in flesh. We are called to be free, to liberty. We are called to liberty. But we are called to experience sanctification. And I want to also mention another practical point. It is good to speak practically sometimes. And one point which is important to Christians often, and it's so outwardly, and it's the It's a clothes. And regarding you, the clothes you wear, there's a law in love. Oh Lord. Yeah. And here in Galatians it says, serve yourself through love as slaves. Yeah, let how we dress ourselves be not too much in liberty, but not too much in law. Maybe not too short, because it's the mode. Yeah, maybe if we dress with a too short skirt, this will give it will be hard for the brothers, for men's to look at that. Maybe it will lead to the flesh, and it will interfere with the relationship with the Lord. Yeah, fashion in this world it's very normal to dress maybe like that. To dress openly and with short clothes. But the enemy wants to give an Anstoß. But we do not want to we do not want to offend the other saints and bring them away from the Lord by how we dress. We might have the liberty, but let's be open and search for sanctification also in this. Let's come back to two verses. The will of God is our holiness, that we abstain from sexual immorality. This is what we read earlier in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. That he should abstain from fornication. We should abstain from that, from sexual intercourse without marriage. The Lord has bought us with his precious blood, and we belong to him, and he wants to sanctify us now. And he has given everything for us. And like that, he also sees the relationship between man and woman. And this really is an important point. Sanctification is connected to the love towards the Lord. With the love towards the Lord. And sanctification, holiness, is also connected to a separation. I want to read two verses in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? These verses connected to verses in verse 7, in chapter 7, verse 3 in 2 Corinthians. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our heart to die together and to live together. Yeah, you know, the chapter numbers and verses are not originally in there, so this is one letter which is connected, and so we can say this, that these verses are connected. Yeah, Paul is talking about, when Paul is talking about the holiness, then it is in his heart what we can read in verse 3 of chapter 7. I do not say this to condemn, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. And also, yeah, and also in verse 1 of chapter 7, he says, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yeah, in verse 2, he also says, we have room. And he also said it in verse 11 to 13. These verses are around this unequally yoked together. Yeah, you brothers and sisters in the churches. Amen. Our heart has become cleansed. And he says that to the Corinthians, which criticized him and even said to Paul that he was choosing according to the flesh. And he says, our heart has become wide open.
Nun vergeltet Gleiches mit Gleichem. Ich rede zu euch als zu Kindern, als ein geistlicher Vater. Werdet auch ihr.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Yeah, he also says, you become wide. My heart is open towards you. Open your hearts toward us. And what does this mean? And then in verse 14, sorry, he's jumping around verses, so it's very confusing. Yeah, he's citing 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Yeah, do not be yoked together. If you are yoked together with an unbeliever, then you are influenced by this yoke. Yeah, to come into marriage with an unbeliever. This can also be in some actions you do. I do not have anything against music or films or maybe a local group where you can spend your whole time. And this I realized with my children. They made sports and were in the sport club. But I always try not to engage myself in this sports club. Not to spend too much time in that. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is too much. And this will influence my relationship with the Lord and the saints. And see what he says here in verse 14. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? Yeah. What relationship does the righteousness have with the lawlessness? Paul sees us as righteous. He says that we are righteous in Him, in the Lord. And in he asks, what righteousness, what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? Maybe the people around us are outwardly righteous, but they are in darkness. Maybe they have an outwardly righteousness, but you do not know their heart. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And then there's verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And the temple of God, we are the temple of God. This is us. And in 1 Corinthians 3, he mentions that. He says that what do we have similar to the idols in this world? What is our similarity? To make it short. And I had this thought, and also when during the meeting yesterday, we have such a treasure, such a wonderful treasure, which is the most precious thing ever. You will hold this treasure fast. If you have this great treasure, it is so important to keep it, to take care of it and not let it be stolen. It is so precious. And now the third part of this word, of this message. How do we come to sanctification? It is not from our own strength. It is only possible in Christ. And the first aspect, in the first aspect of our Lord, is that He is the crucified one. And this is so important for us. This is our path to sanctification, the crucifixion. And we had a lot of fellowship. In Stuttgart, you had a lot of fellowship about that, in Stuttgart, about the cross. And I want to summarize. This is a point we really have to see. The Lord has done it. He has fulfilled it. He went through the cross and has cleansed us from our sin. And even more, He has brought us into His death. Let's read Colossians 2. Colossians 2, 11 to 13. In Him you were also circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sin of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses.
Fleisches zusammen mit ihm lebendig gemacht, nachdem er uns alle Übertretungen vergeben hat. Vers Kapitel 3,
Amen.
Vers 3.
Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3 also. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. This is wonderful. And here he speaks in the past. You died. And you are circumcised. So this means the Lord has worked on us. And this is so wonderful. Also in verse 13, he's speaking about, and in the end of 13, he says, even as Christ forgave you, Christ forgave to us. It's also connected to our faith. We cannot we do not have to think about it, or we cannot think too much about it, but we have to believe this, that we are circumcised, and we died. And he also says in verse 5, Colossians 3, verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He speaks here about so many things. Fornication, uncleanness. And in 1 Timothy 6, Paul says, flee these things. And he's also talking about the love of money. And in Colossians 3, verse 8, he says, but now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Sometimes you are happy to say something bad, or you want to talk some filthy language. But we have, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The Lord has already crucified all these things, all our filthy thoughts, our uncleanness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Angered. It is done already. It is crucified. In the realm of the spirit, there is no time. In the realm of God, He has already done it. This is already a reality. We just have to take hold of it. We have to take it. And sometimes I might not believe it. I'm so influenced by what I feel. But praise the Lord, He is the beginner and fulfiller of our faith. And this is so wonderful. This is such a it frees us. And the second aspect of the path to sanctification is the resurrected Christ. He is alive. The spirit who has become life. The religion is teaching the Lord is in harmony with the Father and the Spirit. In John 13, he speaks from himself. And in Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5 verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Yeah, understand what the will of the Lord is. Yeah, as we already said, we are not called to be mechanical slaves which just obey the Lord. This is not to be to do the will of the Lord. But what is the will of the Lord in Ephesians 5 verse 18? And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah, be not filled with wine, be drunk with wine. Yeah, Paul even says to Timothy, just drink a little bit of wine. Wine is not bad per se, but yeah, we should not be drunk with wine. Yeah, we touch the world. We are not completely separated. But yeah, we want to be separated. We do not want to be drunk by wine, by the world. If you are drunk, you cannot see clearly anymore. You have no reaction anymore. You have no you do not appreciate what is really to appreciate. Yeah, and I'm sure this is the experience of everyone. Yeah, be filled in the Spirit. This is so important. This is also important in the church, that we come to the one fills everything. And in the church, we are the fullness of the one who fills everything. And Paul shows us in verse 19 a simple path. And he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Yeah, this path the Lord shows here is the path of a meeting, of fellowship, to speaking to one another. And this is so important, such grace is in there to share riches to one another. Not like in the religion where there's one person in front of everyone who shares. And most often there are some people in the front who do everything, but the others do not share. And this is such a there's lacking so many things. Yeah, the riches of Christ are so great. We all need to share and to spread. But if I come to the meeting, I might not be full of the Spirit and very strong, but in faith and through the brothers and sisters in the meeting, it is so wonderful to be filled with the Spirit. Maybe if you read Psalms or you sing a song, this is so, potent. This can do so much. This is working resurrection in us. Praise the Lord for the meeting. Yeah, and also the third aspect of this is the fellowship with the Lord, with the resurrected Christ. We can also read in Ephesians 6 verse 18, but let's rather go to Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In Greek, this verse says, watch while praying, or watch through praying. This is connected. Yeah, this is very important to be in our hearts for the coming back of the Lord. We have to flee from all these things. Yeah, flee from this world, which is, giving so much pressure also on us, on our daily life. And the world is really, the enemy is really using the world to put pressure on us and our children. Yeah, you are in the internet and suddenly there's a picture in the internet and suddenly you see something you need, maybe some advertisement which you wanted to buy. And this is so sneaky. And this is what, how the world is like. Yeah, but the Lord is so different. He is not in a tradition or, and in Luke, he speaks about our prayer. The Lord needs our prayer. Yeah, we also will have another fellowship and a whole meeting about prayer. But it's so important. The Lord says, pray all the time. Not just 1 or 1.5 hours on Tuesday or whenever you have your prayers meeting. This is not enough. I have to say, if you do not have a regular life of prayer, we will not come to be sanctified. Yeah, the Lord has such a heart for people which will be lost. And I could have told you about other verses in, for example, in Jake, he says that it's so wonderful to pray for your brother and bring him back and save him. Yeah, and also to see the people in the world, how that they are lost, and to pray for them. And if we have this life of prayer, our life of prayer has to exceed the time we spend in the meeting. Yeah, we pray alone, we pray with the saints to also get to know the will of the Lord. This burden for the saints we need to have is that we also develop and strengthen our life of prayer. There's a real need for us to pray May the Lord open our eyes what the true sanctification is and what the path to sanctification is, what it means to experience the cross. And this is also in faith. And this is the faith which the Lord works in us. Yeah, this word is so important. Yeah, we need the faith to be filled in spirit and no longer live according to our own will and not pray according to our own will, but to pray according to the will of God, to His plan, which is without end. Yeah, and also to bring the will of the Lord onto this earth. What a great grace that we can bring this this will of God onto this earth. Amen.
I want to speak from what the Lord has made, that the Lord has answered